Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
I'm going to take you on a step-by-step journey of the Passover lamb and how that directly relates to what was happening that day in Jerusalem and the things that were being walked out and the things that were being played out. And you have to go back to Exodus chapter 12 because Exodus chapter 12 is talking about Jesus. It's talking about Him. I mean, the other day I was doing my Bible reading and I am looking for Jesus everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. I mean, I know, you know this, we know this, but to know it from a standpoint of it's alive in me. It's alive on the inside of me. The things that E.W. Kenyon has written about from the cross to the throne and what happened when that took place, those things, they're real. And they have to be real to us. Exodus 12 is a picture. It says, and the Lord spoke in verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It actually begins this month, doesn't it? This is the month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Did somebody say today? Okay, I'm just looking at Billy. And so, I keep my eyes on Billy. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. A lamb for a house. I tell you, there's a lamb for your house. There's a lamb for your house. There's a lamb. There's a lamb for your children who've been away from the Lord. There's a lamb for your family who's been sick. There's a lamb for your family that doesn't even know Jesus yet. And they will know him very shortly. There's a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Who does this sound like? It's him. There he is. I think about Jesus reading this. I think about Jesus reading about himself in the Bible. In the scriptures, I think about him looking and seeing your lamb shall be without blemish and seeing that's Jesus in there. That's Jesus in there. We need to read the New Testament according to us in there as well. See yourself in there. A male of the first year, you shall take it from the sheep and from the goats and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall keep it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper doorpost of the houses where they shall eat it. You know, some years ago, the Lord just really showed me a revelation about this and how it applies to us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We take that blood and we are brushing it on the doorposts of the temple of the Holy Spirit. It works in the same way. And you know what? Death passes over me. Death passes over you. Verse 8, they shall eat the flesh that night and roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head and his legs and with the pertinence, or that means inner parts, thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until morning. You know, this speaks to being redeemed from the whole curse. The whole curse. we don't think there's a word for this sickness or that infirmity. No, it covers it all. It's not like some insurance policies that we've had where if you come within inches of the air conditioning unit that doesn't work, they will tell you that the insurance policy is void. No, this covers it all. The blood covers it all. It was a total sacrifice. Verse 10, and you'll burn it with fire. You'll burn it with fire. I want you to keep that phrase in mind as we go into hell. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girt, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You'll eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, I'm going to read verse 12 in the light of what Brother Copeland has been teaching us this week. For the effects of the curse and the destroying angel will pass through the land of Egypt this night. And that curse will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, or when the curse sees the blood, it will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. The land of Egypt will be smitten. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. What I did that morning that I was studying this was I went back to some notes that I had, and I began to look at this. And if you're a note taker, you're taking copious notes about this, you can take your page and put a line right down the middle. And on the left-hand side, you could write there on the left-hand side, the Old Testament Passover Lamb. On the right-hand side, you could put Jesus, our Passover Lamb. And you can look as we compare the two. This won't take long. Let me take you through this. In Exodus 12:3, the 10th of Nisan began the Passover celebration. In the Old Testament, that's when it took place. In the New Testament, in Matthew 26:2, Jesus said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man will be betrayed and will be crucified." I'm telling you this morning, every moment, every second, he was being led, guided, and directed. He was, after all, the Passover Lamb. And he was reenacting every part of it. He did not miss one minute, one appointment. He knew exactly what was going on. He knew exactly what was happening. And now this plan, this prophecy that had been declared throughout the ages is now coming to pass. And through the years, they're killing one man after another, thinking, it must be the one. This must be the one. And here he is. Here he is. Game on. Game on. In the Old Testament, the Passover lamb was led through the sheep gate on its journey to the temple. See, we were just talking about the entrance. That day, Jesus came through the sheep gate. Acts 8:31. Philip was preaching to the eunuch, quoting Isaiah 53. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. The eunuch asked who he was talking about. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. It was Jesus. And it was Jesus that day on that donkey that was going through the sheep gate.
Brother George, when you were looking at me, I had to remember if this is indeed the day. I did not know. And I checked the Hebrew calendar. If you'd turn back to the 12th chapter of Exodus, this is going to be when God lays out the Passover, which is pointing toward, of course, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. You know they're coming out of Egypt. And this is the night of the Passover. This is the night of the blood on the doorpost. But as the Lord gives it to Moses, he says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." They already had a year that began over in October, a civil year. That year we call Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year of the civil year. That's marked from the creation of Adam. So when you see Rosh Hashanah, that commemorates the day man was created. But now God's going to give them another year, and this is going to be a sacred year. When God looks at the sacred calendar, he fulfills things according to the sacred calendar. And this sacred calendar began on that day when God was speaking to Moses, and he said, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." That day is today.
Hallelujah.
I had to look it up and see for sure. I hadn't looked before.
Today's the
It's called Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first of the month of Nisan. And Nisan is the month of all these sacred things. You take the lamb, you keep it up. Every bit of it is so significant.
Wow. Wow.
And so here we are.
What a day.
And the outpouring of the Holy Ghost
outpouring
came at Azusa on this day.
Yeah.
And the end of the Civil
Glory
War came on
God.
This day. And it's not always this 9th of April that's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because that's a lunar calendar, but it is this year, and things are converging, and prophecies are being fulfilled before our very eyes, and Jesus is coming soon. Hallelujah.
We now return to our sermon in progress. The people would sing Hallel and wave palm branches before the Passover lamb. That's what took place in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we read it, Matthew 21:8, the very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and laid them in the street. The people cried, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The Passover lamb in the Old Testament was then taken to the temple for 4 days of observation. In the New Testament, Mark 14, they led Jesus away to the high priest. And with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. They carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. They brought him to the hall of justice, the hall of judgment, rather. In the Old Testament, the lamb would be declared pure after 50 separate tests and a thorough examination. In the New Testament, Jesus, our Passover lamb. This is what we didn't have to go through. This is what we didn't have to experience. Luke 23:15, Pilate called the chief priests, rulers, and people. "You brought me this man as one who perverts the people. I have examined him thoroughly and have found no fault in him. He has done nothing worthy of death." That is a major point right there. A major point. And then it says Herod came to the same conclusion and sent him back to us. Nothing this man has done calls for the death penalty. In the Old Testament, the Passover lamb was flogged and the skin of its back was removed to make sure it was as pure on the inside as it was on the outside. Of course, in the New Testament, John 19:1, Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. Isaiah 52:14, many were amazed when they saw him, beaten and bloodied, so disfigured that one could scarcely know that he was a person. But we also have to remember that it was by those stripes that we are healed. Some years ago, when the Passion of the Christ movie came out, I had the privilege of sitting next to Kenneth and Glory in the theater. And I can remember that experience like it was yesterday. You sat there and you just kept saying, "He did it for me. He did it for me. He did it for me. He did it for you. He did it for you. He did it for us." The Passover lamb in the Old Testament was placed on the altar and killed at 9:00. Or actually, it was placed on the altar at 9:00. And Mark 1:25, the New Testament, it says, "And on the third hour, 9:00 in the morning, was when they crucified him." Do you see the timing on this? Do you see how everything is perfectly fitting together? And they still didn't see it. They still didn't get it. They still didn't understand it. We're talking about the final Passover lamb. Jesus was walking this out step by step. Not one bone in the Old Testament Passover lamb was broken. And that was according to Numbers 9:12. They shall leave none of the lamb unto the morning, nor break any bone of it according to all the ordinances of the Passover. John 19:33, when they came to Jesus and saw he was dead already, they did not break his bones. Verse 36 of John 19, these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, that a bone of him shall not be broken. In the Old Testament, the heart of the Passover lamb was removed and the blood was drained. In the New Testament, John 19:34, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear and immediately blood and water came out. Now, this was very interesting to me that in the Old Testament Passover lamb, it says the high priest would slit the throat of the Passover lamb and would say, "It is finished." John 19:30, when Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." He was entering into the office of our great high priest. That was amazing to me to think that Jesus hanging on the cross was pronouncing his own, "It is finished," as he died, as to where the Passover lamb, the high priest would pronounce it over him. He's pronouncing it over himself. He's declaring it over himself. After death, the Passover lamb was thrust on a vertical pole. A horizontal pole was added, forming a cross. And in the Old Testament, the Passover lamb's sacrifice, it covered sin for how long? How long? 1 year. Jesus, our Passover lamb, completely wiped it out for all time. This sacrifice was an eternal sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, we were redeemed from what? We were redeemed from the curse with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. John 1:29, John saw Jesus. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We're talking about something eternal that's happening. It doesn't have to be done every year. It's already been done. Hebrews 9:11, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption from the curse of the law for us. Amen. Glory to God. The sacrifice did not stop at the cross. Of course, his body was laid in the tomb, but his spirit was ushered into hell. It says in Isaiah 53:9, he made his grave with the wicked and with the ungodly rich, and in his, the Hebrew says, deaths. In his deaths, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. No, it didn't stop at the cross. It didn't stop in the grave. It was continued on. And our Passover lamb, he descended down into the depths of hell. Psalm 88:6 says, "You have cast me into the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps." What happened to Jesus? He went into the deepest, darkest part of hell to suffer everything for you. Every part of the curse, spiritual death, sickness and disease, poverty and lack. He suffered it all. He suffered every bit of it. He took upon himself the entire curse of the law. I was hearing you preach the other night about hell and what hell is like, and just endeavoring to get a picture of what he went through. I don't know if we can do that. I don't know if it's even possible to see the degree or the depths. But I really do believe that there are scriptures that bring this thing out, that show us exactly what happened. We do know that he was taking on the curse. Whatever's happening with you today, whatever issue is going on, whatever heart problem, whatever sinew, whatever foot, whatever ear, whatever eyes, whatever's going on, I'm telling you, our Passover lamb covered it. He covered it.
How many of you in healing school this morning received manifestation of your miracle? May I see your hand? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Glory to God.
I came here and I couldn't walk in the door. I had to have a wheelchair because I had a hematoma on my leg. And all this time I've been coming in the wheelchair, and I think it was Pastor George that said, anybody whose doctor said that they cannot be healed, you come up here.
Jeremiah 30:17. It says in the King James, "For I will restore health unto thee, I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord." And I shared with you the Message translation of that, and it was, "I will come with healing, curing the incurable."
Praise God.
So if you've been told there's no cure, it's time for you to be cured. It's time for your recovery.
I got out of that wheelchair, walked up here, and was healed. Praise God.
Yeah. Come on, show off a little bit. Look at you. Yeah, come here.
I could not do this. I could not walk up a step or anything.
How long?
So praise God.
How long had it been like that?
11 weeks.
11
weeks. Four doctors said that they could not do anything for me because of history of blood clots. And here I am.
There you are. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory.
1 year ago, I got sick. I had a team of doctors. Some of them said I had a stroke. Some of us said, no, you didn't. They have no idea what's wrong with me. Could not cure it. I had what's called expressive aphasia. And if you don't know what that is, it means you can't talk right.
Gone.
And depending on who you talk to, that's a blessing or a curse. I mean, it's... But I was in sales, so I couldn't operate in that. I couldn't walk. I came in this morning on a cane because I had no balance. Because I couldn't move efficiently, I put on over 100 pounds in the last 12 months. That's going to go away now.
Yeah, amen.
I'm not going to live with that. But I can walk, and I can talk, and I can think. And God is good.
Isn't it wonderful?
God is so good.
Isn't it so wonderful?
And so I just wanted to testify to the glory of God.
Yes, amen.
And I have to tell you, I came under attack this morning before the meeting. Satan tried everything to keep me from coming in here today. Everything. I couldn't think. I couldn't put a sentence together. I couldn't decide what seat to sit in. I just couldn't move. And I came anyway, glory to God. And he broke the curse off of me. And I thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Look at your beautiful self.
No cane. Life is good.
Hey, life is good, she said. Yeah, I agree. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory.
My husband and I came here, and I was believing for restoration in our marriage, and I got that. And then 3 years ago, I was in a very bad car accident. I had had a bad hip from the military 20-some-odd years ago. And then recently, I had to have surgery on my back. Now, my back was healed, but my hip was not cooperating, and it hadn't come to fruition yet. But I've been believing, and during healing school, I got my healing.
Oh, turn around. I want you to look at her face.
Look at that. She is aglow with the presence of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, sweetheart. That is wonderful. That is so good.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.